So this morning, I want to speak just about a passage that we all know, very familiar to us. It's a scripture in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. We all know it. Some are even reciting it in your head at this minute. So if you have a Bible, why don't you turn to Acts chapter 2 and verses 42. I hear the sound of rustling. Exactly, Sandy. Rustling of pages. The believers form a community is a title that's just above this passage in my Bible. Peter has preached on the day of Pentecost, the prayers and the disciples were gathered in the upper room because Jesus says, do not leave Jerusalem because I'm going to send the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled. Tongues of fire came and rested on the disciples. And so as they were speaking in tongues and they were speaking in languages, that many people in the city were like, wow, they're Galileans and they're speaking in my language. Why is that? And Peter decides that he would bring that message about Jesus. And just it shows you, even in Peter, how God can change a life. Peter, who denied Jesus, I'm going to follow you to, well, I don't know this man. But here he is, bold, speaking the word of God, preaching to a crowd there. And 3,000 people believed in Jesus. 3,000 people believed in Jesus. The city was packed that day. And people were baptized. Repent and be baptized. We're going to be having a baptism service in a month or so. If you've never been baptized, come and see me. We're going to baptize you in faith. Amen. They were baptized and they were added to the church. Believed, baptized, and added to the church. And here we have, in verse 42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. As they were being the church that God intended, people were being saved. People noticed there is something different about those people. And there was a fear of God. Even further on, it says people were afraid to join the church, but yet many people were added to the church. What is it that they saw that attracted to the church? Now, in our heads, we may think, well, that was the book of Acts. That's not now. This is, we've moved on since then. I don't believe that we can't be the church that is here in the book of Acts, that we can't be that church today. I believe we can be that church today. And I feel and I believe that this is where a reset is needed, that we need to get back to just the heart of just what that is in here as the community of God. What is it that world see in the church? Is there anything in this church, anything in the church that are attracting people, that's saying to people, I want to be like you. I want to be in that place where you go. Is there? That's a challenge. It's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for God's church. Too many times we are just becoming conformed and just being like the world, blending in to the world, and God is wanting us to stand out from the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. The believers, it says, they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. Do you know, this morning I want to just devote Annette to you. I want to devote Annette to God. I want to devote Annette to prayer. I can't do that. I can't devote you. You can't devote me. They devoted themselves. So this is down to you. This is down to your devotion. As the verses I read previous, that the eyes of the Lord roam the earth, seeking those whose hearts are fully devoted to him. Do you know, our devotion to God. And here we have in the early church some more devotions. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were hungry for the word of God. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They wanted to be together. They wanted to be together. They must have liked each other. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, communion. They also ate together in their homes there, so they would have fellowship. They would be eating and having food is a great way just to have fellowship together. Amen. Yeah, just so everyone, just make your appointment with Fawny, she'll feed you. But isn't it great as you sit round just having food together? Isn't it great sitting having a meal without the chase been on or the television been on, as most of us do, as we sit with our dinner watching the television or the news? But what if we got together with two or three people and just shared a meal together and talked and says, so what's your story? So what's your story? And talked about God. Here in early church, and that was why with communion, they would be having a meal together, and then they would finish or just say, let's just break bread together. They were bringing Jesus into their fellowship together, making him central to their meeting together. And they devoted themselves to prayer. Prayer. Webster's Dictionary, if you look up devotion, it talks about love, loyalty, enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause, committed, dedicated, to commit to a solemn act. So they were devoted, they were committed, they were loyal. They were loyal. And these people, the early church, they faced their share of persecution and hardship. We don't maybe get persecuted, but we do face our troubles, our fair share of troubles. And we do get to that place where we feel like, I think I'll just give up. My life is okay. And now, but we are in a spiritual battle, church. We are in a spiritual battle. And so, yeah, they were loyal, they were committed. This was a life of consecration to God. As we get to know God better, I've got here, we will love God better. We will serve God better. And hopefully we should love one another better and serve one another. But it's Jesus who has to be the center of everything. Because out with Jesus, there are some people it's difficult to love. Or is it just me? There are some people that's difficult to like. Is it just me? I do. I love everyone. Sorry, God. But the more, I believe, as we just get closer to Jesus, as we just deepen our relation to him, something happens in our lives and in our hearts. And I believe a compassion and a love flows later on in this passage. They talk about selling their stuff. Do you know, I've no money today. Well, I'll sell my stuff and give you the money. Such was their devotion to one another and their devotion to God. They devoted themselves. Come on, let's say that together. They devoted themselves. Let's change that to I devoted myself. Come on. I devoted myself. They devoted themselves. They committed themselves to God and to each other. They connected with God and with each other. And they entered into that life of devotion to Jesus Christ. Devoted to the apostles' teaching. Hungry for the word of God. Are you hungry for the word of God this morning? No, are you hungry for Stephen to preach to you his good sermon and tell you his favorite jokes? But are you hungry for God's word this morning for your life? Do you seek after it like that manna from heaven that will feed you and sustain you? It's the word of God. It's the word of God. And I will attempt and pray that I will preach God's word in truth and conviction and power through his Holy Spirit. Devoted to the apostles' teaching. There is life-changing power in the Word of God. The Word of God is living. It's active. The Word of God teaches, rebukes, corrects, trains up in righteousness. The Word of God, as it's preached, does do something because it's living. Someone once says, as you read your Bible is reading you. So through the Holy Spirit, you will sense and hopefully sense that conviction of the Holy Spirit. As you read Scripture, you think, oh, I need to change my life here. Do you know, leading a connect group one night, I was going through just a bit of a time there. In fact, I'd fallen out with God because I wasn't doing things the way I wanted it done. And so I was coming here early in the morning seeking God. Nothing. And there was one time I was just sitting there preparing for the Connect group, reading the Psalms, and I came across one verse when the psalmist declared, and then I realized my heart was bitter. And I tried to skip by it. And God says, that's your heart, Stephen. You have a bitter heart. Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I had to repent and ask God to forgive me. As I read the word, the Holy Spirit brought the word alive to my heart. And the good news was I was quick to deal with it and not just say, well, I'll deal with that tomorrow. Why would I want to keep a bitter heart? The word of God is powerful. We need to contend for the truth of God's word in these days. Do you know, in these days when the word of God is shunned, it's disregarded, people, it's declared old-fashioned, it's not modern day, we need to hold fast to the word of God in our life. The word of God is living and active. Again, most of things in our life require preparation. And I think we have to prepare ourselves for reading God's word. God, as I read your word, will you speak to me? Getting married, we have to prepare for getting married, preparing for a career, preparing for a holiday, preparing for a long journey. I want all the I's dotted and the T's crossed when I am looking to do a holiday or a journey. Got the road map, want everything, where the stops are going to be, what service station, what's the best service station we're going to stop at. I haven't found one yet. In fact, T-Bay gets near that on the M6. But, you know, we prepare. We prepare. I prepare the word of God to speak there. As I seek God to bring his word to you, I prepare. I don't just go, well, Lord, whatever you give me, I will say. I just prepare. That's me. If you want to get something out of something, you have to put something into something. And I've got here a quote, how we listen to the word of God and receive from the word of God will be determined by your attitude to the Word of God. I need to say that again. How we listen to the Word of God and receive from the Word of God will be determined by our attitude towards the Word of God. How do we approach God's Word in our lives? How do we approach God's Word being preached? Whoever is up here speaking the Word of God. Do you know, as much energy and time as I put into wanting to bring the Word of God in truth and conviction and with passion, my question is, do we listen with conviction and passion and enthusiasm? Do we listen for the Word of God? Or is it a time we've did the worship, Stephen's preaching now, or someone's speaking, chance to catch up on the emails? Let me just... Oh, Facebook. Wow. Jeez. Wow. Oh, look at the grandkids. Oh, look at them, isn't it? Oh, look at them. Brilliant. What was that? Oh, Stephen. Yeah. Amen, brother. Yeah. Oh, I've got an order coming this afternoon. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know, if I did that during my sermon, oh, excuse me, I just need to check my emails, you'd be like, get on with it. That's not right. But my challenge and my question is, how do we prepare to receive from the Word of God? I'll let that sit with you for a minute, and hopefully you'll still love me. Are we intentional about meeting with Jesus? Are we intentional about meeting with other people? How many of us even pray, Lord, tomorrow as I come before you, Lord, would you speak to me? As whoever is preaching, Lord, let there be something in me or in your word that I can take for my life. Lord, would you give me a word? Or, Lord, should I bless someone tomorrow? How can I bless someone in the church tomorrow? Try out the prophetic. Say, God, give me a name of someone that you want me to bless tomorrow. And even more, not to contain it in the church. God, as I am about my business in the city, would you give me a word for someone? Lord, is there someone that you want to bless with a word of encouragement? With just even opening a door for someone and saying, bless you, as they walk through. Just being intentional about living for God. Don't stay up too late at night and watch Netflix. I know you're tired, but you got to bed at 4 o'clock this morning after watching 3 films and 2 documentaries. And as the Word of God is preached, you're in this tiredness. What am I not saying? I'm not saying don't watch the television. But can we prepare ourselves for meeting and gathering together, for coming before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to worship and praise him, to build up our brothers and our sisters? I'm just saying be intentional. Be intentional and prepare. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I'm by it now, so you can relax. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to meeting together. They met in the temples and they met in their homes. So they met together corporately. They met together in their homes. Probably not as many meeting in homes. Maybe there was. Maybe they had big houses. If you come to my house, we can fit in 8. That's all we can fit in our house. I can only cook for 4. So that's why we never bring up any more than 4 people. I thank God with people like Cheryl, hospitality, who can cook for 50 and 60. And I'm like, oh, God, give me that gifting. Like, no, I don't want that gifting. But they met in homes and they met in the temple. We gather on a Sunday. But all that God wants to do in us and through us can't just always happen here on a Sunday. It happens out there as we meet together. Share your story in a coffee shop. Again, I'll tell you, what a brilliant way to evangelize. Fantastic way. I've noticed that. I've noticed as you're talking about God, how many people come and sit near you. And they're talking to someone, but they've got their ear on your conversation. And so we just talk louder about what God is doing. No one's ever came and says, oh, can I join this conversation? Maybe one day. But what a great way. Talking about God. In the homes, talking about God. They were committed and devoted to gathering together. Which is a challenge, again, for us. They were intentional about making Jesus center of their conversation, of all that they did. In Hebrews, it says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And I believe, even before that, I believe that there's going to be an outpouring of his Holy Spirit. I believe there's going to be just an outpour. There's going to be an ushering into the kingdom of God. People who are going to get saved. People are going to get healed. That is what I am believing for. And it's more now an urgency. But Jesus is coming back. And we have people out there who don't know Jesus. And they are going to a lost eternity without Jesus. And I'm talking about my family as well. And Jesus is coming back for his church. And so as we gather together and as we pray, let's encourage one another, spur one another on. You know, let's share our stories together. Alpha Course, let's begin. Be intentional about saying, God, give me one person that I can give an invitation to that will come and hear about the Word of God, hear about the Holy Spirit, hear about Christianity, and get them on a journey. And yes, it is a journey. I would love the days when people just, like Paul, who persecuted, people that you look at, you ever got people and you think, oh, goodness me, it takes great faith for that person to get saved. God, I can't actually believe that person gets saved. I hope my brother's not watching, my younger brother. He's one that I look at and I think, God, is it possible for him to get saved? But God loves him. God loves them and wants them saved. And so it is a journey. The angle scale is what we had was 1 to 10. How can we get someone from 1 to a 2? How can we get someone to move forward? It may be an invitation to the house. And it's just a conversation as people are talking about God. It's a step forward. Maybe the Alpha Course, we're moving people from a 2 to a 3 or a 4. But we're getting people on a journey of discovery where they will meet Jesus and they will give their lives to Jesus. And it's not going to happen without prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. The New Testament church was a praying church. When Peter and John were arrested, put in jail, what did the church do? They prayed. Paul and Silas in prison, they prayed in the prison. They worshipped in the prison. The New Testament church was a praying church. They prayed as believers individually, I believe, and they prayed corporately. And if you know anything about Annette and I, you will know we are people who just know the power of prayer. We know the urgency of prayer. And we will pray. And we will seek God because prayer does change things. And we're not going to see our lives changed or our community changed or our nation changed, or our city changed without prayer. We need a move of God in these days. They held each other up to God in prayer. They wanted God to do something in them and through them, so they prayed. They wanted God to bring healing, so they prayed. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, no money, but I've got something else. I've got God. Do you want God or do you want money? They probably say money. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And walk. I long to see the days. I'm praying for those days when we will see more healings come. As we just see God move in people's lives. They wanted God to bring change to situations, so they prayed. They were praying for each other. They were praying for their city. And the results, as they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, as they devoted themselves to one another, as they devoted themselves to prayer, there was results. There was results. A deep sense of awe came over them. There was a reverent fear. Isn't God good? Wow. Wow, Rosie, God healed you this morning. Do you know, is there? We have lost, I believe, sometimes that sense of awe. The sense of awe. Waking up, that wonder in us, God, that you are good, that you are holy, that you love me. Wow. God loves me, and God has changed me. God has called me, and that's your story as well. Have you lost that awe of God? Have you lost that awe of just being together? I love local church. I love coming together. I love hearing your stories. I love talking to you there. Hopefully you love listening to me and talking to me. But I love when we gather together as a body of Christ for preaching and for sharing together. I love the connect groups as well. People were added to the church daily. The believers were a community. And the believers went from a mentality of me to we. Me, we. Me, we. From me, isn't all about me. When I come to this church, it's not all about Stephen Holmes. It's not all about the pastor. It is we together as the body of Christ that God has gifted, God has equipped, that God has called up to reach our city. We are in this together. There is days I'm afraid. I am at a loss because I say, God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't know what to preach. God, I don't know how I'm going to help these people. Do you know, and I went through a time a few months ago. I really felt low. And God really challenged me. And it was like, Stephen, I know your problem. You're carrying just the weight of responsibility upon yourself that the people need to get changed. Do you know, I feel a responsibility at times that you connect with God. And it's not my responsibility. Yes, I will pastor this church. I will steer you in the right direction. I will bring advice and counsel when you need it. But I can't change you. I can't give you a devoted life. They devoted themselves. So pray for me as I pray for you. Jehoshaphat, Lord, I don't know what to do. What was the answer? But my eyes are on you. My eyes are on you. And the good news is, and the blessing is, when I trust God, God says, Stephen, this is the way to do it. God at times has given me how to do the service. Do you know, even two songs this morning, God had said, Stephen, they need to be sung tomorrow. The first two songs. Thank you, Fonny, for allowing me to mess up your schedule. But God says, these songs need to be sung. Is it about the song? It's the spirit over the song and what God wants to do. Making room for God. And Lord, I give you my heart. I give you everything. They devoted themselves. The truth is, we get devoted to other things, don't we? What are you devoted to? Oh, I'm devoted to my wife and my husband. Oh, I just love them. I'm devoted to my car. I'm certainly not devoted to my car. I think Annette's got more devotion for a Discovery than she has for me sometimes. Oh, look at that car. Oh, Stephen, look at that car. I can't, I'm driving. Oh, look at that car. Oh, I wish we had a Discovery. Annette, look at the price. Aye, but I know, but God is good. He can bless. He can bless. If that's a word that maybe God's given someone that you want to bless your pastor, then please, no, that's called manipulation. That is manipulation. Do not do that. They devoted themselves. As I said, the Connect groups are starting soon. And one of the ways that we devote ourselves to one another is we join with others and we share life together. We share our stories together. We share the Word of God together. We pray for one another. That is the place where we can test the waters of even the gifts that God has given us. Do you know, as you go to the prophetic course on a Sunday night, that the small groups are the place to say, well, God's given me a picture. Can I share it? And knowing that nobody's going to come and jump down your throat, well, that's not scriptural, or that's not that, or that's not that. I mean, if you did come out and say, well, Jesus never died for us, then they would come down on you. But it's a place that you can discover your gift and practice your gift. In our Connect group in Glasgow, we had many people who would say, Stephen, God doesn't give me anything. God doesn't give me anything. Well, let's pray and ask God to give you something. One woman would always say, nothing, nothing, nothing. But then one night at the Connect group, I had a picture, but I don't know, this might not be God. Well, share it. And it was a word for me. I was like, that is a word from God. Goodness me. But it's a place. Was I built up? You bet I was. Was I encouraged? I was encouraged. Now this lady, she's giving people words. But the Connect groups was a place. So I encourage you, when we start them in September, think about, God, what are the Connect groups? I will let you know all the Connect groups. If you want to open up a home there, come and talk to me. And we will, use your home. We'll put leaders in. But just my prayer, my heart is to see all across this city, men and women just meeting and talking and sharing fellowship about God. They devoted themselves. So, as I close and as I finish, will you make a commitment today? Don't commit anyone else. Will you make a commitment yourself to be intentional about even starting a journey of devotion to God? God, what do I need to do? Will you make a commitment to gathering together with other believers? And yes, I know things have changed. People work on a Sunday as well. Jobs are life. So again, people are committed to jobs there. Pray and ask God to give you a job or speak to the employer. I need a Sunday off because I need to be at church. You know, some people have did that and the employers have went, okay, can you work another day or whatever? Yeah, I can do that. But meet out with the Connect groups, out with. So there'll be a time when you can connect with other people. Will you make a commitment about that being your devotion to Christ? The early Christians I've got here were resolved in growing their faith. And how they were going to grow was they get into the Word of God, they prayed, and they gathered together with others and came round the Word of God. Come on, let's stand. Take a moment and reflect on what you've heard this morning What is the Holy Spirit showing you this morning? Where do you need to make some adjustments? Where do you need to make some realignments? How is your devotion to God? How's your heart towards God? How are you with the Word of God? And how are you about receiving from the Word of God? What about gathering together? When life gets tough, do you run? Do you take time out? Or do you gather with others that you would be strengthened and encouraged and loved and built up, and that people would stand with you? What about prayer? How are you with prayer? You know, you may be in a place where, well, I don't know the words, I don't know what to say. Then borrow some prayers from the Bible. Get into the Psalms, just begin to read them out loud. Start with 2 minutes, a prayer before the day begins, or the day ends, whatever fits with you. But gathering together, corporately, in our connect groups, we will be praying. You know, as you meet in a coffee shop, pray. In a coffee shop? Wow. Yeah. 2 minutes, just praying quietly. So what is Holy Spirit showing you? Is there other things in your life that the Holy Spirit has shown you where you're devoted more to them than the things of God? His plans and His purposes. Your relationship with Him, is there things that are becoming in the way that you need to lay down? Holy Spirit, come. This is not about condemnation. So please do not feel condemned because you don't do things. But allow the love and the compassion of God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit just to come and help you realign your life. Just to reset some things in your life. And so we're going to close with our final song. Our tithes and our offerings box is at the back there. You have an envelope on your seat. There, this is our time when we can give just our tithes and our offerings. But we're going to close with a final song. I pray God's blessing on you. I pray God would bless us over tea and coffee as we share fellowship together. I pray as you step into this week that you would have encounters with God. Be blessed because you are blessed to be a blessing. And you are a blessing. And so as we sing this final song, and once it's finished or once the team's finished, our service is finished, but if you need to come forward in an act of consecration or just resetting some things or realigning some things, then do that. Bless you.